On a phone line is Chicago-based sports marketing expert Mark Gannis. He has talked to us many times about the prospects of stadiums in and around Chicago, notably the Bears. But now we wake up this morning to a Sun-Times report that the Southsiders are eyeing the South Loop. What do you make of this proposal, Mark?
Well, it would be transformative. It's a big idea, which is often the best idea. And it would be the kind of project that if it can be pulled off, very difficult to, but if it can be pulled off, I think would change the relevance of the White Sox in Chicago for generations to come and make them a much more important organization and kickstart the development of one of the last large plots in the urban core of Chicago. It makes a lot of sense if it can get done.
When you think about downtown Chicago, you see the Loop, then you see the South Loop with the new tall buildings, and then immediately south of that is a long stretch of undeveloped grass that parallels the south branch of the Chicago River. So imagine, if you will, just south of the Loop, not all the way down to 35th, between the south branch of the river and the lake. There's this green patch just asking for development. When I saw that, I thought, oh, hell yeah, put something there.
Well, Related Midwest, which is known for their development, has taken control of the land, did some years ago. They've been looking at what they're going to do with it, but it is exactly the way you described it. It's all just grassland. I mean, there is a railroad track that goes through there, so that would have to be taken into account. It does abut the river. That, of course, can be a real positive, but that has to be taken into account also. But it is... It's amazing that such a almost pristine piece of property exists so close to the skyscrapers of downtown Chicago. It is it's an extraordinary site, and it's one that would actually bring the White Sox, if this place, bring the White Sox closer to where people live and work, and as people in Chicago live and work further south of the Loop. It really is it becomes a hub of sorts. It's an extraordinary location.
Yeah, when you look at it or even think about it, you just think, this makes the White Sox relevant now. Maybe it'll always be the Cubs town, but boy, the Sox are right there. Talk about the deal the Sox have right now. Their lease is expiring in a couple of years. How sweet was the deal, and how much should we all help Reinsdorf get this deal if it happens?
Well, the suite is kind of an understatement. That was one of the great deals that has ever been done in sports and in our lifetime. Major market where the public sector paid for virtually the entirety of the development of that stadium, and has continued to pay for capital improvements, upkeep, and a fair amount of the annual operating expenses as well. That was an excellent deal.
And the owners get to keep concessions and parking and tickets and merchandise. The owners get the revenue streams, right?
That is correct. And even on the rent that's paid, it's based on how many seat tickets they actually sell to the game.
Right.
So if they sell more tickets, they pay a little bit more in rent. That was a deal that was done at a particular moment in time when the White Sox were looking to move down to Florida. They were coming out of a dilapidated old stadium in what was Comiskey Park. So that was a moment in time. It would need to be a form of a public-private partnership, but now stadiums cost multiple billions instead of a few hundred million. It would be hard to see how in the current political environment and economic environment the same kind of deal could be achieved. But a form of a public-private partnership, I think, does make a lot of sense. And then you look at for example, how in Atlanta the Braves were able to finance their new stadium, and they did it with a real estate development that they call the Battery that was built concurrent, designed and built concurrent with the baseball stadium, and they were able to offset a significant amount of the cost of the baseball stadium with the real estate development and the value of that. There may need to be creativity like that in this kind of deal going forward if it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. If they do go to a new location closer to the Loop, does the city or state still have bills to pay on the old and now unused stadium? Will we still be on the hook for the old stadium even as we build a new one?
Well, John, you ask these very difficult questions, but the answer, unfortunately, is likely to be yes. That stadium is owned by the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority. That's a public entity, which means the costs associated with it, unless it is sold, will still remain with the state and with the authority. And so the answer, short answer, is yes. And we don't have to look very far. Look half a mile east or so, and look at Soldier Field with all of the refinancings that were done on those bonds. And over the course of 25 years, these bonds that were supposed to have been paid off in 30 years actually have a tremendous amount of money still left on them.
Right, but the Bears are supposed to pay an exit fee for that. I don't know if it covers what they owe, but how much would the Sports Authority be on the hook for if the Sox leave the South Side? How much would we still owe?
I don't know what that number is.
But it would be something.
It would certainly be some money, because they've also issued bonds for upgrades or renovations to that stadium over the years. But I don't know what that number would be at the end of the 30 years. But it would not be the White Sox obligation. They will, at the end of the term, that's the way that things are. I mean, you have a lease term, and the landlord is responsible for what the mortgage is on the building, even after the tenant's lease expires. So it's not, I don't view that as some kind of a deficiency on the part of the White Sox, because they will have fulfilled their terms of the lease. Similar to the Bears, you asked how much is there's a fixed amount. So all the refinancing that the Bears would have to pay if they leave. So whatever refinancing the government did in the interim, that's not really on their nickel. They didn't get the economics from the refinancing, and the amount that they would have to pay was established 25 years ago when they negotiated the lease.
We'd like to think that we could learn lessons as we go along, but I don't know that we do. The reporting also in this, you may laugh now, the reporting in the Sun-Times is also that the governor likes this site for something called the Discovery Partners Institute, which would be a new high-tech research center, and I think we're smart to have some premium real estate for that. The expectation is that we could do both. It's not certain that you would have room for a stadium, parking, and a research center, but what's your assessment of the use of that land? Will there be enough room for both projects?
Yeah, put parking on the side because there's nowhere near enough land on that, on 67 or so acres to do this. So you'd have to think of parking, a lot of the parking being off-site. You'd need a little bit of parking on-site, but you'd have to put that, most of it, off-site. And the short answer is yes. You can have a certain number of parking spaces and the stadium. The parking spaces would need to be structured, so multiple levels of it. And then that would also then allow for significant other development like this kind of research center, which I believe would be tied in with the University of Illinois under its current plans.
I love the idea of a merger.
But
it was also suggested that this stadium would seat 35,000 to 38,000. That puts it on the smaller side, doesn't it? And what do you make of that?
Well, it does, and I don't know what the White Sox are thinking in terms of size of the stadium, but the trend has been to smaller stadiums in baseball rather than the larger stadium. So that would not be a surprise. And the White Sox, frankly, have had trouble filling a stadium of over 40,000 people historically. So having a smaller, more intimate building with scarcity of tickets could lead to more sellouts and actually higher attendance, which may be not conventional wisdom, but that's the way it works out. Smaller stadium actually can lead to greater attendance. Look, Wrigley Field is only about 40,000 feet.
And by the way, Wrigley does not have convenient on-site parking either. You find a place to park and go to the game. Do you think any of this impacts the Bears in any way?
To a degree, it does. Yes, a number of things, a number of reasons why. First, if there is going to be public money that is dedicated to a new White Sox stadium, it can be viewed that those forces can be competitive for what would be needed for a public-private partnership for a new Bear stadium within the city. So you try optimally to find something that can satisfy both, if possible. But if not, then there can be it can be viewed that there's a competition there. As far as the site is concerned, there are some people who've talked about the 78 as being a potential site for the site we're talking about for the White Sox stadium, for the Bears. That's possible, but the reality is the best site for the Bears would be somewhere near where they are right now, but that leads to a whole other slew of other issues, from the Lakefront Protection Ordinance and Friends of the Park saying that they will oppose it, to that entire area from the Lakeshore East building that's rarely used at McCormick Place, to the museum campus that doesn't even have transit to it. And, you know, it would be lovely if the parties could get together and come up with a grand plan that makes it far better for everyone, but we have a bit of a toxic political environment in Chicago and Illinois, so hope for that may not be realistic at this
point. Well, I'm thinking that part of the city is getting crowded. If you had both stadiums operating and entertaining major franchises, I'm out of time today. But Mark, thank you for your insight, and let's continue to follow this story. And I'm enthusiastic. Might not happen in my lifetime, but I'd love to see this go that way. Thank you for your thoughts.
My pleasure, and I'm with you on that, John.
Mark Gannis is a Chicago-based sports marketing expert.